WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The Monica Lewinsky story has left Americans with a familiar problem: how to refer to the scandal. The press has been having a field day coming up with names ending in the suffix "gate," but curiously, none of them seem to have caught on with the public. Fresh Air's linguist Jeff Numberg sees this as a hopeful sign. Maybe it's time to retire the suffix "gate" for good.
About halfway through a dinner party last week, the woman on my left suddenly remarked, "You know, we've been here for 2 hours already, and nobody's mentioned the Monica Lewinsky business." And the host shot back, "Well, that's because we've all moved on to Tara Lipinski." My host may have been a little optimistic. You have the feeling that at least so far as the press story goes, Monica will turn out to have a lot longer legs than Tara does. What did strike me, though, was that my dinner table neighbor referred to the scandal simply as the Monica Lewinsky business, instead of using one of those clever names that keep floating around in the press and on the internet: Zippergate, Tailgate, Fornigate, Groupiegate, Naughtygate, and all the rest. Everybody's heard those words, but nobody seems disposed to use them in conversation. There could be a couple of reasons for this. In the first place, the Lewinsky business really isn't the same sort of scandal as most of the other affairs that got a gate tacked onto them, which were generally associated with graft or corruption or abuses of executive power. Of course, there have been allegations of that sort of thing in connection with this story, too, but that isn't what's caught the public's attention. At least, when you look at the dozens of Lewinsky jokes that all those worldwide wags have been circulating on the net, you don't find a lot of them that have to do with suborning perjury. Or maybe it's even simpler than that. Maybe we're just gated out. Since the 70s, after all, we've been through Watergate, Billygate, Koreagate, Iran-Contragate, Fostergate, Filegate, Nannygate, Travelgate, and I'm probably forgetting some of these. It actually has a name, this process where you chop off the end of a word to make a new suffix that you can attach to make the names of other things. It's called secretion. Actually, I didn't know that till I looked it up the other day. You grab the aholic of alcoholic and make chalkaholic and workaholic, or you chop off the athon of marathon to come up with dance-a-thon, talk-a-thon, and all the rest. English has been doing this for a long time. Back in 1819, when the authorities sent the cavalry to attack a radical rally in St. Peter's Fields near Manchester, the radicals and reformers referred to the massacre as Peterloo, a word based on Waterloo. Waterloo, Watergate, that's a nice coincidence. Later in the 19th century, there was a vogue for forming the names of political constituencies with the suffix "ocracy," as in cottonocracy, landocracy, or mobocracy. The only one of these that stuck is bureaucracy, which we forget was originally a joke word that meant rule by desk. A few of these makeshift suffixes have had long lives. The suffix "orama" was originally taken from panorama. It had its first vogue in the 1820s when Daguerre put up the first diorama in London. Then it became popular again in the 1890s when people went around asking each other if they'd had their lunch-orama. And then it came back in the 50s with cinerama, and again in the 80s as surfer slang in words like baborama and the like. For the most part, though, these suffixes are pretty ephemeral. Back in the 30s, for example, there was a rage for the "cade" suffix torn off from "cavalcade," which showed up in words like "aquacade" and "autocade," but only "motorcade" has stuck around. And that same period was the golden age of the names modeled on cafeteria, places with names like "lunchteria," "shoe-teria," "fruiteria," and "furniture-teria," names you can sometimes still make out in the flaking paint of signs over vacant inner-city stores. By linguistic standards, then, the suffix "gate" has already outlived its plausible lifespan. It ought to fall victim to the same sort of reaction that kills the other concocted suffixes as they become too vague to do any useful work. There's something wrong with a category that lumps together such a mixed bag of derelictions, from attempts to circumvent the system of checks and balances to somebody hiring an undocumented immigrant as a nanny for her kids. And that seems to be the way people are reacting to the current scandal. The New York Times ran a poll that showed that Americans believe that Clinton and Lewinsky had a sexual relationship and that he lied about it in his Paula Jones deposition, but they don't think he asked her to perjure herself, and they don't really hold any of it against him. The public seems to make a distinction that the press ignores when they compare the affair to the other gates. People blame somebody more for lying about money than for lying about sex. After all, most of us do that. When we're young, we say we had it when we didn't, and then later it's the other way around. I like to think that all these fanciful names for the Monica Lewinsky scandal are the last gasp of the Gates suffix. Then maybe we can return to a more innocent age when each scandal could be savored in all its delicious singularity.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.